we have our... But tonight we're going to look at the personality of the Holy Spirit. Now when we talk about the personality of the Holy Spirit, it simply means the quality or fact of being a person. And the personality of the Holy Spirit is as clearly set forth in the Bible as the personality of the Father and of the Son. However, most people don't mentally make that, they don't have that picture of the Holy Spirit, unfortunately, because when you think of a Father, you think of a person. When you think of the office of the Son, you think of a person. Well, the Holy Spirit is no less a person than the Father and the Son. And when men deny this truth, it's the evidence of satanic blindness. Satan assaults every truth. And he's really tried to get men to deny this, first of all, doctrinally. There was an ancient heretic, and his name was Arius. And he spoke of the Spirit as the exerted energy of God. And this is simply to reduce the Spirit to a mere display of the Father's power. That error is still held by many cults. I think if you really pin down the Campbellites, the Church of Christ, the people that believe in water salvation, they have kind of that view of the Spirit, that He's merely the force of God. And then there is a practical denial by many religious people who may not, in their doctrinal creed, deny the personality of the Spirit, but in their practice, they view Him merely as the power of God. And so we need to be careful the way that we speak of the Spirit of God. He is a person. Now, the early churches knew the Holy Spirit as a divine person who could be followed. Turn over to Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. We'll look at some scriptures tonight. Acts 13 and verse 2. This is when the first church was sending out the missionaries. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. The Holy Spirit, as a person, directed them, instructed them, and they followed Him. They followed His instruction. We are to commune with the Holy Spirit. You don't commune with a power. You commune with a person. You have fellowship with a person. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. In these words of benediction, Paul the Apostle is telling us that the Holy Trinity is the grace of Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost. He places all members of the Sacred Trinity on the same plane. They're all equal. They are three persons and one God. Now, I know that we have emphasized this as we've been studying the Holy Spirit over the past several weeks, but it cannot be overemphasized. The Holy Spirit, as a person, is associated with the Father and the Son. And really, it's impossible to see how one could deny the Spirit's personality and make sense of the Scriptures. You couldn't make sense out of Matthew 28, 19, where it talks about us being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The formula for baptism, the Trinitarian formula for baptism, hinges on the fact that we are being baptized in the name of God, expressed in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three persons. And then 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. We've emphasized this, and I'll tell you why I emphasize it, because the cults do not. They want to deny the Trinity. They want to deny the personality of the Holy Spirit. But it's clear. Verse 1 John 5 and verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven. They are three persons. That's how they're expressed. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Would anyone mention a mere exercise of power when they're listing persons? No. Now, secondly tonight, the Holy Spirit has all the attributes of a person. What do you think? How do they express themselves as an individual, as a person? Well, a person is capable of thought. The Holy Spirit thinks. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. Now, some of these are repetitive. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit as a person searches the deep things of God. He knows everything there is to know about God, because He is God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but by the Spirit of God. He has all knowledge. He has a thought process. And He communicates those thoughts to men. He did it when He inspired the Scriptures. He does it when He enlightens our minds to the truth. It is the Spirit teaching us, guiding us, teaching us to think His thoughts as they are revealed in the Word of God. Acts 15 and verse 28 is another passage where the Holy Spirit is depicted as thinking. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Now, another thing about the Spirit, as far as His attributes as a person, He thinks, He feels. A power doesn't feel. A person feels. One of the most, you ought to know this verse by heart, Ephesians 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereunto ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You can only grieve a person. He may be vexed. Isaiah 63 and verse 10. We know that the Holy Spirit loves. And we might mention that you can't grieve a person who does not love you. But look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. The Spirit loves just as a person loves. He expresses the emotion of love as a person. Romans 15 and verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So far we've established that as a person, he thinks, he feels, and he exercises volition. What is that? It's the power of choice. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. I believe it's God the Holy Spirit who chooses to distribute gifts in the body, that it is God the Holy Spirit who adds to the body as it pleases Him, as He leads and enlightens men to the truth and brings them into a relationship with a New Testament church. That's the work of the Spirit. He leads, He guides, and He chooses who will be in the body. Look what it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he is. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. This is not a spiritual baptism. This is the Spirit leading you, directing you, instructing you to be baptized into that one body, that local body of Christ. When he was saying these things, he's talking to the church at Corinth. He's not talking to a spooky church. He's not talking to a universal, invisible church. He is talking to the church of God at Corinth. Who is the one that directed you, that moved upon you, that led you to become joined to the body by way of baptism? It's the Spirit of God. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased Him. Church membership is by the Spirit's choosing. By God's volition through the work of the Holy Spirit. And He moves upon men and women to join themselves to New Testament Baptist churches. I have never believed in a universal invisible church. It's not even depicted in the New Testament. Now, the Holy Spirit acts. Again, these are all such elementary things when you think about it. A person is capable of thinking, capable of feeling, capable of choosing, and capable of acting. The Holy Spirit acts. He is the one who inspired men to write the Scriptures. We know that from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake. Here is the action, the acting of the Holy Spirit as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The office of the Holy Spirit in the Trinity, Jesus declared that He would be the teacher as well as the comforter. Turn over with me to John chapter 14 and verse 26. Jesus says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Notice the pronoun Jesus uses to describe the third person of the Holy Trinity. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Spirit acts, He inspired the Scriptures. He teaches us the truth. The Holy Spirit is said to lead us, to guide us, to direct us. Turn over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. Romans 8:4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. After the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's how you give evidence. You don't give evidence. You can't give evidence that you are a son or a daughter of God if you're not led by the Holy Spirit in the truth, according to the truth. And let me guarantee you something. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to do something that's contrary to His Word. Never. He inspired it. You know, Beth Moore, the Southern Baptist lady that is exerting herself on the Southern Baptist Convention and is declaring that, you know, during these times, she should preach just like men do. Well, you know, the Spirit, and I guarantee if you read her writings or listened to her long enough, she's going to say that she has been led by the Spirit to do this. No, she hasn't. The Spirit does not lead contrary to the Word that He inspired. Never. It will never happen. But I'll tell you what's happening to people all over the place. They are being led by their emotions and what they feel and their opinion and what they think. People don't want to deal with absolute truth anymore. They don't want to deal with thus saith the Lord. And that's one of the reasons why churches are in such a mess. The Southern Baptist Convention is going to fly apart over this. And if it doesn't, it tells me that they're apostate. I mean, when you get to the place where you put your stamp of approval on women preachers who are indeed promoting the LGBTQ agenda. That's Beth Moore is very favorable to that. And it's wrong. It's sin, no matter how you cut it. I know people think I'm mean when I talk about this. But the Bible is so clear. You cannot let your emotions, or maybe somebody that you know and love who are trapped in that, because I know them, I know people like that, it does not change the truth of the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit leads. He speaks. Acts 8:29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You say, well, He's never spoken to me. Well, He spoke to Philip and directed him to go to the eunuch and to join himself to the chariot of the eunuch. He spoke to the members of the first of the church at Antioch. We already read that in Acts 13:2 when He said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The Holy Spirit spoke to that church and directed them to ordain, set apart these men to do mission work. So the Holy Spirit speaks. He convicts of sin. It's one of His works. In John 16, in verse 8, and when He is come, again, Jesus is using a definite pronoun when referring to the third person of the Trinity as a person. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and ye see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He convicts, He teaches. It's the Spirit of God who regenerates. He is the agent of the new birth. You must be born of the Spirit, Jesus said, in order to enter into the kingdom of God, in order to see the kingdom of God. In John chapter 3 and verse 5, the Holy Spirit comforts. And I've already read that verse, John 14 and verse 16. Well, I didn't read this one. He said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. By the way, that proves His eternity as well. As comforter, He abides in and with God's people for all eternity. The Holy Spirit testifies. John 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me. So the Spirit testifies. John 15 and verse 26. We know that the Spirit of God intercedes. And He is the one that helps to take our prayers to heaven when we don't know exactly what to say. We know this from Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, where it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit calls preachers. Turn over to Acts chapter 20. True preachers are called by God. They're set apart by the Spirit of God. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. And we also have already established that the Holy Spirit, as a person, acts. He acted when He created. And we read that verse in Job 33 and verse 4, either last week or the week before. So, just by way of review, now we'll stop there for tonight. The Holy Spirit, as a person, is associated with the Father and the Son. He has all the attributes of a person. He thinks, He feels, He can be grieved, He can be vexed, He loves. As a person, He exercises volition or choice. As a person, he acts. He's the one that inspired the Scriptures. He teaches us the truth. He leads us in the way of truth. He speaks. He convicts. He regenerates. He comforts. He testifies. He intercedes. He calls preachers. He acts. He creates. You cannot deny that He is a real person. He is not an impersonal force or merely the power of God. We'll stop there tonight.